Yeah, how many of you hear that this morning? Help is on the way. That's one thing about being a child of God. There's always help on the way. Would you stand with me, please? If you have your Bibles, you want to turn there. It's 1 Samuel chapter 16. I'll be reading verses 6 through 7, and they'll be up on the screen there for you as well. When they had come, he looked on Eliab, the eldest son, and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Look not on his appearance at the height of his stature, for I've rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Can you say thank God for that? That's what I want to talk to you for a little bit about this morning. I want to talk to you about matters of the heart. I want you to think about something for a minute. Most of you are not going to believe this, but it's true. God himself looks down on you and sees you as better and more than you think you are. Yeah, he does. See, I know that because he is a father, and he looks down with eyes of love. That's why when you were at your very worst, he still looked down and saw somebody worth dying for. Amen. See, I know you don't believe it because I don't believe it sometimes. The old devil's got a way of slipping in there and whispering in our ear and trying to grind us into the dirt all the time. But I want you to see something today the way God sees it. Would you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are our Father and our God. Lord, we are your sheep and the people of your pasture. And Lord, as we love you with everything that we are and every way that we know how, we know there are times that we still fall short. But you know our hearts, Lord, and you know in our heart we don't want to do that. We don't want to do things that are displeasing to you. We don't want to speak words that you would not speak. And yet sometimes, Father, those things happen. But I'm grateful today that you look at us with a father's heart. Lord, there are people around us in our lives that if they were the judge of the whole earth would condemn us to hell. Because they think, they see, and they think they know. But I'm glad that you're the only one that sees all and knows all, and the only one worthy to judge every heart and every life. And Father, we are grateful for your love. We're grateful for your compassion, for your grace, and your mercy. We're also grateful for your truth, for your righteousness, for your justice. Because Father, without it, this whole creation would fly apart. You're the only thing holding it together, and we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we've been studying, if you will, the book of 1 Samuel, and it's really a study of different men's lives. And up to this point, we've seen that King Saul, who we've given our attention to, has continually tried to almost obey God. You know, he's probably one of these people that walked around and said this a lot. Well, I know Christians aren't supposed to, but... And I know God's word says we're not supposed to do this or we're supposed to do that, but... He knew enough about God to hang himself. And a lot of times we do. And we got to be careful because we're responsible for the light that we have. If you know to do good and you don't do it, the Bible says it's sin. Jesus said in one place to a group of people, you know, they were giving excuses, and he said, you know what? Your own words are going to condemn you one day because you know better. Otherwise, you wouldn't be giving the excuses. But King Saul, like many in our day, he always was leaving out the parts that he didn't like while trying to obey the rest. How many of you know that partial obedience is no obedience at all? And I said it a few weeks ago when we were talking about Saul, and I want to say it again. The highest form of worship is not prayer, it's not Bible study, it's not church attendance, it's not singing songs to God or giving thanks to God. The highest form of worship that you can give to God is to simply do what he tells you to do. That's it. Because if we do anything else and don't do that, then all it amounts to is lip service. You know, we're loving him with our mouths, but as Scripture says in one place, our hearts can still be far from him. And by the way, he only wants you to obey him because he's a father that loves you and knows what's best for you. You know, if you're tired of beating your head against the wall in life, then what you got to do is get on board and start doing everything that you know to do already. And God will help you do it. He'll give you the grace to do it. He told us in those scriptures when we looked at it, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Whew, that's a pretty strong list. So, well, all I was doing was just fudging a little. No, you're practicing witchcraft. You're practicing idolatry. You're being stubborn when it comes to the things of God. And someone has wisely said this. They said, hell will not be filled with those whom God has rejected, but rather with those who have rejected God. And that's the absolute truth. But in our text that I read to you today, I believe is one of the most beautiful truths of Scripture. And all of the Scriptures bear this wonderful truth out, namely this, that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And you know, the Scripture teaches that from beginning to end. Because of that, there's great hope for all of us. You know, I shared with you before I left on vacation, I had done 22 funerals since January up till now, which is just crazy. I mean, I've been a pastor for 37 years, and usually I will do one, two, maybe three funerals a year. But 22 in almost half the year. One of the reasons I left town on vacation was I didn't want to do another funeral for a week or two. It wears on you after a while. But you know, one of the responsibilities you have as a minister of God when you're doing funerals, and I've had to learn this, you stand before people and you're ministering to the living. There's nothing left to do for the dead. There's an old song that says, gravestones cheer the living, dear. They're no use to the dead. Don't bring me dead flowers. Give me flowers now while I'm alive. Amen? But you know, there's always the question at that point of death is, where are they going to be in eternity? And what I got to tell you is this. Only God himself knows for sure. That's why I minister to the living. I've been in services, thank God I never made this mistake, but I've been in services where people were literally preached into hell at their funeral service. I've never felt that I've sat that high in life that I could say or do that. Now, having said that, the Bible does say that straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it, and everybody that dies doesn't go to heaven, and that's an absolute fact. Everybody that leaves this world, even after suffering terminal illnesses for time, are not always in a better place. It's the reason Jesus came and died for us. But the reality is that the only person that can really know for certain about that is the person themselves and God. You know, I've had families come to me in situations and they say, Pastor Ken, do you think there's any chance they made it? And this is always my answer. I said, they're in the hands of a just and righteous God. If there's any way they can be, they will be. I remember losing a grandfather and wasn't sure because of his life where he will be in eternity. And for a little while through the pain, I thought, you know, if he's not in heaven, I don't know if I want to be there. But it didn't take me long to come to my senses and say, but what if he is and I miss it? And I'm not there. You know, those are the heavy, heavy, heavy questions of life. Now, the Bible does tell us in 1 John 5:13, it says, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. And if you read the scriptures and you apply the scriptures to your life and you actually walk with God, you personally can know that you know that you know that you pass from darkness to light, from death to life. You know that you have eternal life. You know that when you leave this world, you're going to face God immediately when you close your eyes. You can know that. But you know what? You can only know that for you. You can't know it for another single person on this planet. And I think we are all, in some cases, going to be pleasantly surprised because we're going to meet people in heaven that we had no idea would be there. But I think there's going to be some heartbreak too, because I think we're going to get there and find out some that we thought were going to be there aren't there. And you say, why? Because you and I judge with our eyes. We judge with our ears. We judge with our mind. God judges the heart. Thank God. Thank God that he does. See, because here's the thing with God. When the heart is right, even sometimes when the actions are not right, God still sees our heart as though they were. There's a little woman in the Bible. She was so broke, she only had, you know, what we would say the equivalent probably of 2 cents. And she puts it in the offering plate, and there's religious people watching her, and they're thinking, man, she's cheating God. She isn't giving God anything. And Jesus, who knows our hearts, stood and said, she put in more than you all. See, that's what I'm talking about. The Bible says this too. It says, men, if you look on a woman to lust after her in your heart, to want to be physical with her, you've already done it. Why? Because he's looking at your heart. Now, guys, if you look at pretty girls when they walk by, that doesn't mean you sinned. It means you're normal. Yeah, that's not what that means. It means normal. We are attracted to beauty. One of the things I love about my wife, she compliments women. You know, how pretty they are, or how beautiful their hair is, or, you know, how nice they are. She'll just find something good about it and do it. Not because she's lusting after them, because she sees the beauty in them. And see, that's the way God looks at our hearts. And that's the negative side of it, but it works the other way too. God says of you and I in 1 Corinthians 9, he said, I want you to give to God and honor him out of what you have, but not out of what you don't have. See, what God wants is our heart. If he gets that, everything else is good. There are people that watch your life that, like I said, they would condemn you to hell. Because all they see is the outward, and all they see most of the time is a few little minutes here and a few little minutes there. Now, aren't you glad everybody doesn't see us all the time and every second and every minute? I mean, I've thrown some fits. I'm glad you didn't see. I'm even sorry Carla gets to see it once in a while. But you know what? I strive to always do those things that please the Father. And even if I miss it here or there, I'm not exactly what I'm supposed to be, Steve. He knows in my heart that I want to be. That I want to be. And he's a Savior. That's why we need a Savior. And I'm trying real hard to learn this. I've been a Christian for over 40 years now, and I'm just now getting this. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, and also in several other places, that Jesus never judged anything with his eyes or with his ears or just his mind. When they came, the religious people, the scribes and Pharisees said, "Oh, you're talking like you're God. You're judging everybody." He said, "I don't judge anybody. I don't have to." He said, "The word that my Father has sent is what judges them." See, what Jesus did, he only looked at people, and whatever lined up with the word was right. Whatever didn't, it just didn't. Paul restates this thing later on when he says, "We no longer know any man after the flesh, but after the Spirit." The reason I'm sharing that with you is that's how God wants us to be. He wants you and I to quit judging each other on the little vignettes of our lives that we see each other do, because that is not the whole story. That's not the whole picture. He wants you and I to love each other through the Spirit of God, to love you. Now, here's the thing. He wants you to love me and me to love you, no matter how we act, no matter what we do. He said, "I want you to even learn to love your enemies and do good to those that hate you." But he said, "I also want you to love me with all of your heart and seek to please me in everything that you do." See, here's the thing, and I've thought of this so much standing in front of all of these caskets and people in all these funerals. I thought, you know what? You may judge this person on the last week of their life or the last year of their life. But some of you weren't there when they were born. You weren't there when they lived their childhood. You weren't there when they went through school. You weren't there when they served on the battlefield. You weren't there when they went through every crisis of their life. You really don't know who this person totally is. Only God does. You know, there's an old saying that says, "Except for the grace of God, there go I." And I got to tell you, some of you are more blessed than others. I love America. I love our Constitution. But when it says all men are created equal, how many of you know that ain't true? Some of us are a little smarter than others. Some of them even a little smarter than us. Some of us were able to start out with a really good family group. Some of us not so much. I mean, there are all kinds of factors that add up in our lives. And I thank God that God sees all of it. He sees all of it. And he sees our heart in all of it. But I'm telling you, God sees you better than you see yourself. He always has, and he always will see you better. Because he's love. And love believes the best, hopes the best. It looks for the best. I can tell you how you can gauge whether you love somebody or not. If you don't love them, they can't do anything right. If you do love them, they can't do anything wrong. Not anything lasting. You say, "Well, the ones I love still do stupid stuff." I said, "Yeah, but you still love them. The ones you don't love, they can't get away with nothing. You know, you paint everything black in their lives." And see, I want you to understand, God sees each one of us, our hearts. Now, make no mistake, motive matters more to God than our actions. See, Pastor Ken, never thought I'd hear you say the words. It's true. You can have the right heart and still do the wrong actions. And you know what God sees? The right heart. He does. King Saul has written proof of that. When you look at his life, he talked about God. He wanted to offer sacrifices to God. He kept the best of the sheep to bring them to God. He always had a God reason for doing things. Problem was, God saw his heart. Everybody outward, he looked like the good guy. God said, "Saul, you're rotten to the core. Down to the marrow. All you care about is you. And see, we can look good to everybody on the outside. Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees, he said, man, you look like whited tombs. He said, you wear your long gowns and you're like mama used to say, butter wouldn't melt in your mouth. You look so good. But he said, everybody, you're full of dead men's bones, skeletons, rotten to the core. You're vipers and you're snakes. So that's why you got to be careful about what's on the inside, because he'd see that too. Listen to what Paul says to the church at Corinth. They were judging Paul. And Paul said this. He said, it's no big deal if you judge me. He said, I don't even judge myself. He said, but it's God that judges me. And it's God's word that teaches me how I'm supposed to live. And then he went on to say this. He said, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. When's the time? When the Lord comes. How many of you know that's judgment day? He said, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. That's why, you know, I'm trying to get you to understand Christianity is a walk and a journey. It's not just something, you know, praying a prayer one time and you get your ticket punched and you're in. You're not in until you take your last breath in this life and God says you're in on the other side. So keep seeking him, keep hungering after him, keep growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Be more like Jesus today than you were yesterday and more like him tomorrow than you are today. But thank God, only God can really judge your life and my life, ultimately. I'm only supposed to know the Jesus that's in you, and you're only supposed to know the Jesus that's in me, and do our best to shine in front of each other and set an example to each other. Now, here's the thing. God looks at the heart, but how many of you know we've got to be careful to guard our hearts? Proverbs 4:23 says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. It's not what you are on the outside. Got some good news. You know, most of us are at least middle-aged or older. There's a few younger ones in here, but I remember when I was a teenager, I worried about how everybody thought I looked. I've learned something. When you're a teenager, the only one that cares about how you look is you. Because when you're a teenager, you're so self-obsessed, you don't even see the other people around you. It's just me, 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 me. And by the time you reach 40, nobody can see what you look like. Not in detail. You know, I do it too. You do it. We stand in front of the mirror and every little hair has got to be in place. It's got to look just right because we want to look our best. Nothing wrong with that. Most people can't even see it. We waste all that time, all that vanity. Most people just don't even, you know, they're too young to care and too old to see. But God says, if you really want to take care of something, take care of your heart. Your physical heart's a good thing to take care of too, because when it quits ticking, you're done. But your spiritual heart, which is the essence of who you are and what makes up who you are, that is the thing you want to guard above all else. That's what the scripture's saying. Make sure that thing's right. Now, unfortunately, we have to overcome a very severe deformity of our nature to do that. You got a heart disease. Somebody say, yeah, I know, the doctor told me, showed me pictures. Now, I'm talking about another heart disease. I'm talking about a spiritual heart disease. We've got a heart disease that we, by nature, will lie to ourselves. We are born with a fallen nature. You ever hear anybody say this? I know you have. Just follow your heart. Don't you dare. Your heart will get you in trouble. Well, I just feel. That's the problem. You only do what you feel. We walk by faith. We walk not by sight. We don't walk by feelings. We walk by the Word of God, and your heart will lie to you. It does it both ways, too. Well, if I know my heart, my conscience tells me. How many of you know your conscience is not a good gauge of right and wrong? I can prove it to you. You can do wrong things and feel good about it. But the other side's true. You can be as pure as fallen snow and feel guilty as 50 pounds of sin on a popsicle stick. You know, you feel guilty about things you shouldn't feel guilty about. Your conscience is not a good gauge of right and wrong. And the reason that is, Jeremiah tells us, he said, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly perverse and corrupt and severely, mortally sick. Who can know it, perceive or understand or be acquainted with his own heart or mind? We can't. We can't. I think I'm better looking than I am. Oh, I do. Somebody said, well, kid, I think you're handsome. I said, you ought to see me in my eyes. I'm Cary Grant, John Wayne. Carla lies to herself about it, too. She tells me how good-looking I am all the time. See, and I know she's got a problem. We were in an airport one time. I went to the restroom, and I tarried a little while, and some guy come out, and she says, is there a tall, blonde-haired fella in there? The guy said, no, there's a tall, gray-haired guy in there. It's all right, honey. You keep looking at him like that. I had blonde hair when we met. I told you, 40, you can't see. One of the beauties of being married for your whole life to one person is all that changes together at the same time. She thinks I look like I did when I was 17. Don't tell her. See, the devil gave us our fallen nature, and he's a liar, Jesus said. He was a liar from the beginning, and he still tells lies. And our heart, we will deceive ourselves. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you believe that you could actually fix most of the people that you live with in your life if they just listen to you good? Well, you can fix some things. Doesn't it blow you away that they don't see it? I've had people tell me how loving they were. I thought, really? That's how you see yourself? Well, I'm just too kind. I'm thinking, you're meaner than a junkyard dog. Yeah. Why? Because we lie to ourselves, about ourselves. So how can we overcome our own self-deception? There's only one way we can. It's through the power of the Spirit of God and obedience to God's Word. That's how you overcome. See, this book won't lie to you. It won't. It won't spare you. It won't make you comfortable if you read it. Now, you can lie to it. You can twist it and turn it and change it and only read the parts you like. But if you read the whole thing, it'll reveal the secrets of your heart to you and show you who you're supposed to be in Christ. But that's the only way you're going to see it. The only way you're going to see it is to keep your head and your heart in the light of that Word constantly. And love the truth of that Word more than anything else in your life. More than your own feelings, more than your own convenience, more than your own opinions, more than your own ideas. God, whatever you say, that's truth. And that's where I need to walk. Now, you got to be born again to see that. How many of you know that? This is a closed book to lost people. They read it, and all they see is numbers and history and big old words and names and genealogies that they don't even want to read. It's so boring. But when the heart turns to the Lord, that thing comes alive. It comes alive to the people that want to do what it says. If you don't want to do what it says, it'll just lay there and look at you and say, Holy Bible. You say, that's a Holy Bible. That's God's Word. Then the devil come lie to you and tell you it ain't God's Word, but it is. Listen, 1 Corinthians 2 said, these things, speaking about God's words, he said, we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that's somebody that's lost, that's never been born again, that's never received Jesus Christ into their heart and life, or did and backslid. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, and nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. You know why? Because you judge your own self by this word, and it doesn't matter what other people think or say or what their view is of you, as long as you know your life is in line with this. Now, I got a lot of pastor friends, and we run into each other in different places out about every once in a while. And a couple of them I've been friends with for years, we run into each other and say, how you doing, Pastor Ken? I said, some say he's a good man, and some say he's got a devil. And if you go out, you'll find people that think I'm a godly man. You'll find others that think I'm a devil. They said that about Jesus. But see, I'm glad God's the one judging my heart, judging my life, judging where I'm really at. See, it doesn't matter that people think you're a devil as long as you and God know you're not. And that you're a seeker and follower of God. In John 16, Jesus said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he'll speak and he'll tell you things to come. Whew. God said, I sent the word, I've given you wisdom. Hey, by the way, you're coming up for a final exam one day when you die and leave this world, go to the next. God left the answer book behind. Get in it. Learn it now. Don't try to do it on Sunday night like you did at school. You might not live till Sunday night. Get in it now and figure it out. The answers are in there. And not only that, but the Holy Spirit will teach you what that word says. I knew a pastor years ago in Tennessee. Well, actually, I didn't know him personally, but I met him. My mom used to tell me about him. He couldn't read. He'd never been to school, and he couldn't read, but he was a pastor. And he'd get his wife to read it to him, and he'd memorize it. But sometimes he'd get to a place where he couldn't remember what it said, and he'd just say, so on and so forth. But you know what? God revealed himself to that man. You don't have to be the most intellectual person in the world to learn what this thing says. And what I've really found about God, because he looks at our hearts, he just wants you to do what you understand. You know, you read it sometime, you don't understand certain parts of it. Don't worry about the parts you don't understand. Do the parts that you do. And as you do those things, more will come to you. And God will reveal himself to you. But we've also got to be obedient to the word. A lot of people read the word and then they don't do what it says, and this is what God says. He said, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And don't forget, your lying heart will help you. Well, I'll just give you one example. I don't have time to read my Bible. I'm binge watching Netflix. You forget to leave that little part out. Now, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Think about it. For he observes himself, but he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. See, I've gotten older, and when I get a certain distance from the mirror, I can actually see. But I'm 18 on the inside. I am just like Carla sees me, and every once in a while through the week, I'll walk past the mirror, and I think, man, where did that old fogey come from? I'm serious. I forget I live in this body sometimes. I'll be on the tennis court and I feel like I'm 20. I get in the car and drive for a half hour, I feel like I'm 80. I think, man, I used to do this, get done, go play some more. Now I got to go lay down. I'm not 18 anymore, no matter how much I try to make myself believe I am. But see, if we look at the Word and we don't do it, it's just like walking up to a mirror, getting a good picture of yourself, and then walking away and forgetting what you look like. Even if you want to forget what you look like sometimes. It says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. See, here's part of the way that you learn the Word. It's kind of like learning to drive a car. First day I was out in driver's ed and I was driving a car, one of my buddies was standing off to the side of an intersection. And I'm driving this car and I see him and he waves and I wave and I almost run over him. You know why? Because I hadn't yet learned that my physical motions also had something to do with that car. But much to her fear and amazement, I can drive down 495 now and play with the tape player and talk to the people in the back of the car and look everywhere else and keep it right on track. Why? Because over and over, repetition. Remember the first time you tried to ride a bicycle without training wheels? Ooh. I can do it. Yeah, boom. So somebody got smart if they loved you and cared about you and had enough money to do it back then. Some of us didn't. They put training wheels on the thing. I can ride it. Well, you know what? You get to the place to where you do it enough that you don't even have to think about it anymore. You see, that's the way the Word works. You learn a little bit of it and you do it until you don't even have to think about it anymore. And that little bit gets changed inside of you. Then you do a little bit more and that little bit gets changed inside of you. And guess what? After I learned to ride a bicycle, I learned to drive a car. I didn't have to stay just driving a bicycle my whole life. Now, I like doing it. I got one that's got a motor on now. Yeah! My wife, every once in a while, sees a smart car, and she says, I wouldn't be caught dead in one of them. I said, Carly, you ride a Harley. See how our hearts are? She thinks she's more protected on that Harley than that smart car. That ain't smart. I love you, hon. Listen, I'm almost done. I got to get done. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. If you love yourself more than you love God, you'll never see your heart for what it really is. They'll be lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good. Sounds like the evening news, doesn't it? Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I remember years ago reading that, and I thought, you know, it says in the last days people be like this. And I said, God, people have been like that since the garden. He said, well, just keep reading. He said, but these will have a form of godliness, but deny its power. From such people turn away. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about religious people. He's talking about church people that do all these things. Don't sound like the evening news now, does it? Uh-uh. You ever seen anybody at church do any of that? Yeah, you have. We got churches full of people that do those things. Yeah, say amen or oh me. See, we got to change. We've got to let God change our hearts. We've got to let God change our lives. He said, for this sort of those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, and always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, these are people that read their Bibles, but they never understand what it says. You know why? Because they don't do it. They don't put it into practice. You know, there are thousands, if not millions of people that go to church every Lord's Day, every Sunday, sit and hear sermon after sermon after sermon, and they are no different today than they were 20 years ago. Well, they go to church. Yeah, well, that don't make you Christian. Well, I didn't think you needed church. Yeah, you need church. If you're going to really be a Christian and really get serious about it, you're going to need all the help you can get all the time. I don't come to church because I have to. I come to church because I want to. I come to church because I get to. I come to church because I want to please God, and this is where we talk about it all the time. Amen. Did you notice they're picking on you women? Gullible women. Well, that's just the Bible saying. I know, but it's true. You know why you women are more gullible? Guys, you're going to hate me for this. It's because you got more of the nature of God in you. You're more emotional. You're more of a nurturer. You're more of a lover. Unless, you know, the devil's totally messed you up. There's always exceptions to every rule. You're open, but you got to be careful what you're open to. Don't run after every YouTube video and every television preacher and every book that comes out and every idea that comes out. Get in this thing. Now, here's the other thing, ladies, why you're so gullible. The devil hates you worse than he hates us men. Because as soon as he plunged this whole creation into the curse of sin, God said, you know what? You used a woman to do this. I'm going to use a woman to fix it. And that's why you girls have such a hard time. You do. In every nation, in every country, in every religion, anything that's going on in this world wants to put women down. But the devil knows that. And he knows you're hungry not to be put down. He knows you're hungry to go after God. But he'll feed you lies if you let him. Get in the Word. Don't let men or women or anybody else lead you away from God. Don't be gullible. Don't just swallow everything that comes along because you're so kind and loving and good, which you are. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Keep it in the Word. Well, I was going to close with telling you how it works, but let me just read it to you as the praise team comes to the platform. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 13. That tech crew something, man. I've been everywhere in my message. They're just following me right along. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. He's talking about that inability to be able to read and understand the Word of God. Now, he didn't mention the New Testament because the New Testament hadn't been written yet. But it's true of the New Testament as well. It says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You know who takes that veil away? The Holy Spirit. He takes it away and he lets you see your heart like it really is. Brother Steve, I spent three miserable days in May of 1978 before I gave my heart to Christ. Because God came down and lifted the veil on my life. And he let me see every rotten thing I did, I thought, I practiced, the things in my life. He let me see them through his eyes. And I was like, and it was things I'd been doing my whole life. But I was seeing it through his eyes. I'm like, man. It really started on Friday morning, and it took me till Monday morning to finally say, okay, God, Uncle, I give up. I want to do life your way. I see how. I see all the mistakes I've made. I see all the people I've hurt. I see all the things I keep doing wrong all of the time and messing up and hurting me and hurting everybody else. I want to fix it, God. He said, I've been waiting. I've been waiting. And see, he lifted that veil. And when he lifted that veil, this is what the word says. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. I got saved on Monday morning, and I started reading this thing. I started driving everybody crazy because I was running around. I said, man, I just read it. Did you see what is in this book? I need to tell you, Jesus said this, and he said that, and said the other thing. I had some pot-smoking friends. They're trying to get out. They're like, man, you're bumming me out. Killing my buzz. I said, man, you don't even have a bus. Yeah, I was one of them. I ain't high on pot, I'm high on Jesus. And I've been stoned to the bone on him ever since, I can tell you. It said, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He sets you free. Sets you free to be the kind of person that he created you to be. Amen. And he changes your heart from the inside out. Glory to God. He said, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You say, Pastor Ken, why do you read your Bible? Because it changes me. It changes me. I look in it and I see the glory of the Lord, and I stay in it, because if you don't, this world will just suck you right back down the tubes. Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. You all look about half crazy. How many of you have seen God? Hey, I said, how many of you have seen God? See, some of us are crazy than the rest of you. No, I haven't seen his physical being in appearance, but I've seen him 1,000 times. He speaks to me in the morning. He speaks to me at lunchtime. He walks with me in the evening. He rides that Harley with me. He goes everywhere I go. He does everything that I do. He is with me always. I see him at my right hand forevermore. You say, how do you do that? I do what he says, and he comes to me. Some of you have heard him. I'll say it again. I had an atheist tell me, he said, I don't know if that book is true or not. He said, you need to check that out. I said, I don't care if it is. I've already seen him. I've already known him. He's changed my life. He's transformed everything about me. You can't tell me that he doesn't exist and that he's not real, because he is. All right, I am going to be done. Stand. I want to read one more scripture to you. Listen. Blessed, happy, enviably fortunate, spiritually prosperous, possessing the happiness produced by the experience of God's favor, and especially conditioned by the revelation of his grace, regardless of their outward conditions, are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Not only in this life, but in the next. The pure in heart shall see God. Guard your heart. Guard it with the Spirit. Guard it with the Word. And keep it on true north, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, and each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They will need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives light, and they shall reign with him forever and ever. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See, others may misjudge you, but God never will. He sees your heart, and if that heart, with everything of your being, is seeking after him, you got nothing to worry about. Help is on the way, always. Amen. If you don't know Jesus Christ, and I mean really know him, if you haven't surrendered your heart, your soul, and your life to him, completely, and say, Father, from now on, I'm only going to do what your word teaches me to do. You need to do it right now. You can do it right where you stand. And say, Lord, I hear that preacher, but more than that, I hear you. I hear what you're saying to me. And it's my time. It's my moment, Lord. And I'm going to ask you to forgive me and come into my heart and life. Give me a new heart. Give me a new spirit. Put me in the way of life everlasting and teach me to follow you and know you, Lord. Will you do that? You can do it. We're gonna close the service in a song and in a prayer, but you can do that while we worship God together, right where you stand. If you do, tell somebody around you that you've done it. Because if you're doing it for the first time, as soon as you get to the parking lot, the devil's going to try to talk you out of it. But you tell a bunch of people so they'll know, too, what you did. And they can help you say, yeah. I got saved on a Monday. By Wednesday, the devil was trying to talk me out of it. And the young man that led me to the Lord had come up and he said, how you doing? I said, not so good. I don't know if I'm saved or not. He said, I want you to remember something. He said, every time you think that and hear that, it's coming from the enemy. He said, this is what I want you to tell the enemy. Tell him it's funny you never bothered to tell me that before. Amen. Your Heavenly Father wants all of us to be home one day to be able to sing that endless hallelujah together, to praise, to worship, to know that we're healed of everything that was in this world, and to be set free to serve Him forever. Amen. He wants you to be there. He loves you. He already sees you there. Love Him. Serve Him. Walk with Him. Amen. Brother Steve.
Welcome home, Pastor Ken. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just stand in Your presence now. We lift up Your holy name. Holy, holy are You, Father God Almighty. Father God, we honor You with our presence today. We honor You with our lives and our hearts, Father God. Father God, I just ask now that You examine our hearts. We're grateful that You don't judge us by the outward beauty, but You look at our hearts. So come, Holy Spirit, examine our hearts for us. And Father, if there's anything unlovely, impure, will You bring it to our attention, Father God? We want to be pure in Your sight. We want to be Your holy children. We want to be Your royal priesthood, Father God. Help us to live a life pleasing to You. And I ask now, Father, as we leave this sanctuary, that we go to our workplaces, our places that we visit, we shop at, Father God, that Your presence would be about us. Now, You might bring to our hearts and our minds, Lord, to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit to when You want us to talk to a person about You. Father, I ask that You give us the words to speak. Give us the heart and the attitude, Father God, to share the good news about Your Son Jesus and His love for us, His love for them. Holy Spirit, just come now. We ask, we invite You to come and direct our footsteps. Thank You, Father God, for this time together in Your presence with this body of believers. I ask that You bless them now, Father God, as we leave this sanctuary. Lord, give us traveling mercies. And Lord, let us be Your disciples. Let us go forth in Your name. Amen.